Let's go, Rider Nation. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Welcome to the Piffles Podcast, your Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thanks for joining us here this week, the week before the CFL draft, and my favorite part of the offseason, all the Simpsons memes and clips dropping. So we said it last week, Steve, we made it, and we brought Greg back with us this week, so that's fun.
Sorry about
frankly,
that.
Frankly, I listened to last week's episode, and frankly, I don't think I ever left because me and Dave Thomas, exact vocal matches. No wonder everyone was saying I should be the voice of the Riders.
Yes, everybody
something
was saying
like that.
Seriously, though, that man's vocal cords were crafted by the gods themselves. What a voice.
I don't know how to respond to that. Because if I compliment him, I'm complimenting Greg. And I don't know if I'm willing to do that tonight.
No, because we all know Greg's lying about the part that he sounds the same. He's accurate about Dave Thomas.
Yeah, what a good guy Dave Thomas was. Nice to learn a little bit about him last week here on the Piffles Podcast. So I'm looking forward to, well, now that they're not going to be broadcasting any of the Riders preseason games, we'll have a chance to listen to him do those preseason games. But that's next month. We'll get to that. Piffles Podcast, of course, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Thanks for watching on YouTube, SaskTel Max TV on demand, listening wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We appreciate it. As always, I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
And yet again, I am Greg.
And you can give us a follow on X at Piffles Pod. I'm at Real Alex D.
And you'll find me at Safamud.
And as always, I do not need nor want your pity fellows at Greg on Sports. And thank you, Alex, for passing that along. I'm glad that no got out there. I was very concerned that you guys would stab me back and tell everyone to follow me.
Sometimes I listen to you, Greg. It's not very often, but when I do, it's the important stuff like that.
Perfect. Thank you.
I'm intrigued by a few of the things we're doing here on this week's show. We're going to do our first annual mock draft of the CFL draft for the Riders, only the Riders. Cause I don't really care what anybody else does. They're not my favorite teams. I only care what the Riders do. And I wish I could tell you that we were smart enough to go like full Three Down Nation or Marshall Ferguson and do like name by name who the Riders should go after. I don't know much about youth sports, college football. So we're just going to do positions. Where do the Riders need the most help this year and beyond? So we're going to do that a little bit later on, but we're going to kick things off with a new green. Let's get to the opening kickoff. All right, so we were complaining last week, as we usually do once a year, about the Rider themes and how there is no real themes to the theme games. We brought up the green is the color game. And Greg, you did some digging over the last little bit. And by little bit, I mean a couple of years, really. The green is the color game is going to be more than just where you're green. There is going to be a new green, correct?
Three greens, actually. One we all know, of course, your regular Rider green. But they're adding, they added technically Obsidian and Emerald Green to the Rider style guide 2022. And now it's actually going to be available on a uniform. So
now this Obsidian green, it's pretty dark, but not like darker than Edmonton Elks green. Like, it's almost black if you're not really paying attention. Like, that's how dark it looks, right?
It's super dark. Actually, the first time I saw that color, someone referred it to me as midnight green. That's how dark it is. But yeah, Obsidian green is super dark. It's it's definitely a green hue to it, but yeah, in the right light, it's going to look black. And when you have that light emerald with it, it's that emerald is definitely going to pop off.
So you have concepts done up, jersey concepts done up with the new alternative logo that they're going to have up on piffles podcast.com. Now this alternative logo, it's not a full rebrand like it was in 85, like it was in 66 when they went and fully changed their logos. It's just going to be an alternate. It's just going to be an extra one to sell a lot more merch, which I'm all for. As much as I complain about the price of merch, if it's going to be good quality stuff and it looks really good, I will pay for it. But and this is something that they need.
Well, and this is the way I described it. This is Hamilton adding that hammer H. This is BC adding that interlocking BC to their logo set. It's something else they can market around. That's not the same logo that they've had for eons. Like that BC Lions logo has been around forever. Hamilton Tiger Cats, yes, they modified it back in the mid 2000s, but it's essentially the same Jumping Tiger logo they've had forever. So it's just something else that they can throw on merch, that they can throw on uniforms or whatever, and just to one, refresh the brand. Which, yes, the Riders is the biggest brand in the CFL, whether other teams want to admit it or not. But it also allows them to just something new, something different. Because last time they did the signature logo, signature uniforms, all they did was add bright green to the logo and called it good.
So go to piffles podcast.com. That's where we do have the concepts done up. You can see all the colors there. The thought is that they're going to debut this at Green is the Color game, which is what, July 19th against the Bombers. Yes. They'll have a couple weeks. So it hasn't been announced officially by the team, but my thought is, so they have a home game on Thursday, the 4th against Toronto. They'll wait till the Monday following that. They have a road game that week, but it gives them 2 weeks essentially to break out this jersey, put it in the stores and get new merch everywhere and just blast social media with it. And I think that'll be the lead up is 2 weeks to the game. They'll wear it once. And it's kind of taken away from the lights out game. We discussed that last week as well. So I won't get a black jersey, which is what I want for lights out, but this is as close as I'm going to get. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing when they release it, how they release it. And just, I like my Rider hats. I'll definitely be looking at one of the overpriced ones with the new logo on it. That's for sure.
The only disappointing thing to me is this would have been the perfect jersey for the lights out game. That like near on black jersey with a little bit of the green in the helmet. You got the 3-tier green, would have been just bang on for a lights out game. And I love my lights out game, so I was disappointed already, but then you throw this in, it's just would have been great.
I'm just surprised that, and this is something that hasn't really been talked about, is they're going with an alternate helmet. This hasn't been seen in the CFL since, was it 2019? They got rid of all the alternate helmets. Like BC had them, Calgary had them. So I know the NFL went to the one shell design for safety. The CFL just kind of got rid of them. I think everyone just assumed it was the same reason the NFL did. Because I went back looking to see for stories or rules or whatever. CFL never had one like the NFL did. I think it was probably a cost saving, more than anything when it comes to the CFL. The reason why we don't have alternate helmets anymore. So I'm very curious to see what that obsidian helmet looks like, because that's got me the most excited about it.
I just hope you can be able to buy one of them, because I got this beauty guy here. Love this helmet, autographed by a whole bunch of players from like the 09 and 10 teams. I would love to have a new one with the 2024 team on it. So get the merch out there, Riders. Like, just start making some money here, because I know somebody at the Rider store, and last year it was dead there. the team obviously needs to get back to winning. So hopefully a strong start to the season will help push that. But I like it. I've been wanting a refresh for a while, not a complete rebrand, but a refresh. And this is exactly what it does. Have seen a question, though. Will we be able to get the jersey for free with the MVP plan if you sign the MVP plan this year? Assuming no, you probably won't, because these jerseys will probably cost more than the regular jerseys. And they want to unload some of the old. Yeah. They want to unload some of the old stock as well, too. So that's part of why they want to, you know, give you the MVP jersey. I'm sure that they would put the cost of the jersey towards that almost as a credit. Maybe it's worth asking. I don't know. I know I'm going to ask them that. So
when if those jerseys, if they're as good as they seem to look, I will also be asking that same question. And I think a lot of people will.
And I think that's it, because honestly, what else were the Riders going to actually roll out for an alternate jersey, like for another jersey? Like they'd have to go full rebrand, or it's not like they're ever going to get rid of the racing stripes. Those things are so beloved. Like, how many people say that should be their full-time set? And I'm one of them. I agree. I think it looks beautiful. Except for the logo, but we can talk, we can argue about that some other time. But like, what else were they going to do? Like, people are like, well, roll out the 80s jerseys, roll out the set, like roll out the 70s. And I'm like, no, like you need new fans. You need new blood. I've seen a lot, like you could, it's, I had to laugh though. You could tell like Twitter, which skews, or X, which skews younger than Facebook. Facebook's like, we hate these. And the people on Twitter's like, I want to buy one. It's like, it's, yeah, you want those younger fans. So
it's perfect. You can only go retro so many times right there.
Yeah.
So we'll see when they announce that. Like I said, I think it'll be closer to just after that July 4th game against Toronto. So I don't think they'll give a lot of time, which they should honestly just bring them out as soon as possible. Once you have them ready to go and you're just sitting on the stock and you're sitting on, you know, the announcement, just do it. Just get it over with.
I'm waiting for Jersey City and Winnipeg to accidentally put them out too early so everyone sees them before they have a chance to break them out.
Probably get them for $40 cheaper in Winnipeg too. Yeah. So anyway, a new green. We'll see how those jerseys look. Well, within the next couple months for sure anyway.
And I just wanted to be clear. My thing is just a concept based on the initial focus groups. I've been told there's been changes. I did not adjust my concept from what I was told in 2022. So yes, my concept is not what they're going to look like. It's just a close approximate, I can't even say that word, a close idea of what it should be.
But you know, if it's not exactly as you design it, people are
going to. Oh, I know. I already know. I'm going to get a bunch of people kicking at me at Twitter saying I got it wrong. I'm like,
we're going to have the Greg is wrong sounder ready to go.
But remember, well, you heard it here first.
But at least on Twitter, I'll get credit. On Facebook, for some reason, you just someone just reporting about it because we heard it there first.
Only on certain places on Facebook. Yeah. Some Rider news this week. Logan Bandy announces his retirement, offensive lineman. Announced it on his Instagram. Only 24 years of age. He's actually younger than a couple of the prospects, O-line prospects in this year's draft. So that's kind of interesting to me. But Logan Bandy retiring. Two questions based off that I have for you guys. Does this hurt the overall depth on the O-line to you guys? Because this is a guy who he started in 2022 after Dan Clark got injured and he stepped into center, played not bad for a guy that you know, didn't really have any real reps before. And then was delegated, I guess, for lack of a better word, to the sixth offensive lineman last year. So does this really hurt the depth on the O-line?
No, but it definitely, like, don't get me wrong, you guy had actual live fire as a starter in this league. So that's always important to have. But the Riders are amazingly deep in that Canadian O-line position right now. And you have a lot of guys that are going to be nipping at his heels. So, and we said it was going to be hard for him to keep that spot. Like, they need to get Fry in there. They just signed Zur. Like, they have guys that are ready or want to be that sixth man, or at least try to crack this roster. And I think it was going to be hard for him to come out of camp, because you want to see these guys progressing. And if he's always going to be your sixth man, like, that's not bad, but it's not great either, because at that point you're not advancing your young guys.
I think this was a situation of a guy that got thrown to the fire way too early in his career. He didn't really get that chance to develop like most Canadian offensive linemen did. And I think it really hurt his long-term development. And we saw that in the years to follow. He just never seemed to make that rise up the ladder. It's never good to lose Canadian O-linemen. That's the last thing you want to do. But I don't think this team is going to be any worse off for him retiring now as opposed to potentially getting cut come training.
Well, and the one thing was, it was really nice that he did this before the draft and not after. So it could potentially alter how the Riders look at it. I don't think it'll alter the draft outlook too much. But do you guys think this changes the approach next week at the draft? Put a focus a little bit more on offensive linemen, maybe in the second or third round?
I think if there's an offensive lineman that is going to fall to them at a spot where we'd be stupid if we let him pass, maybe. But technically speaking, that's when how Bandy got drafted. He was projected to go early in the first round. Some boards had him first overall, and we got him late because he just fell down the board. They had to take him at that point. So I honestly believe in the CFL, you take the best player available, not necessarily for position, unless you are absolutely hurting for a position, then you might have to reach for a player or two. But CFL draft, I think you always take the best player available anyway. So
I think given our Canadian depth across the board, I think that's how we handle this draft as a whole. And I think that is exactly how it will be post Bandy retirement. Well, I don't think his retirement will have any real effect on the future of the
Well, speaking of the draft, the Riders are hosting a draft party at Mosaic Stadium. I think they did this last year too, I believe. But I'll be heading to that on Tuesday. First two rounds will be on TSN. The rest are going to stream. I think TSN's streaming the rest of the rounds, or CFL Plus is, whatever. I don't know. But it is kind of sad that only two of the eight rounds are being shown on TV, but that is TSN after all with the CFL.
Drafts are terrible TV anyway. I am sorry.
Well, outside of Marshall Ferguson and Dwayne Ford, nobody knows what's going on. Those two are the knowledgeable guys, and they don't lean on them enough, I think. So I know you want to have your panel, your big names. You're going to have Dunnigan and Stiegel there. But do they really, really follow this? I don't think they do. I think they do to an extent, the top, 20 prospects or so. But to go deep, like, that's a Marshall Ferguson thing. That's a Three Down Nation thing. So they're the ones to definitely follow based on the draft there. But anyway, I'm looking forward to getting to Mosaic Stadium, going to the draft party. That should be pretty cool. See some fans that we haven't seen in the off season. Say hello. And I think Corey Mace and Jeremy O'Day are going to speak like just a couple minutes before they go into the draft or to the war room before the draft. So it'd be good to kind of get their perspective of how they're approaching the draft there. But like Greg said, I agree with you, Greg. Go best prospect available.
My question when it comes to
just guys that are ready to come to the CFL, like at least in the first couple rounds anyway.
My question when it comes to the draft party and the televising of the draft, now that Justin Dunk is a part of the Rider Game Day broadcast, Is he going to still be the one to break every single draft pick 2 minutes before they get announced on TSN? That was the best part of the draft. Is what point was it when every pick was out there before it happened?
Well, even if JD does get the info, he'll pass it off to somebody else on three down. They'll post it. He won't. There's ways around that. I'm sure we'll see that. The Riders also announced, besides just having that, they're going to do a whole bunch of events on the road and close to home. So they have an event schedule that they released last week. Of course, they're having the Green and White Day at training camp in Saskatoon. What I like is that for the 25th, the second preseason game in May, they're doing a Rider rally in Regina at Mosaic Stadium. They're going to stream the game against the Edmonton Elks on the Maxtron, and they're going to have events on the field and all that kind of stuff, family fun activities. So if you're wondering, oh, geez, well, maybe I won't be listening to the game on the radio. I really want to watch that second preseason game. Head out to Mosaic Stadium. They're going to put it on the Maxtron, which to me is brilliant. You open up the store, have some concessions open, even if it's just a couple of the basic ones, that's just hot dogs and drinks, like whatever. Just get people out there, get people spending money, getting into the stores and buying merchandise. So as much as I don't want to say complain, but I will critique the Riders' marketing when they deserve that critique, I give them props as well. And I think doing this is a fantastic thing.
Well, we've been saying it for years that they need to do more community-based events. Like, make fans feel like they're involved. And to the degenerates that actually want to watch a preseason game with 100 people on the sidelines that they can't actually watch on TSN, this is a good way to do it. And yeah, you're going to make a buck or two on it too. So who knows? Maybe someone wants to buy a Keith Toston jersey. I don't know.
Nobody would ever do that.
Still the best jersey I ever bought. I profited off that jersey. Somebody bought it off me for $250.
Wow. Almost cursed. Jeez. Yeah. It's not as good as a Dennis
trading Lem Barney for Vernon Davis, but it's fine.
And one other thing for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders is there's a return to Saskatchewan, kind of a legend. It was announced on the Sports Cage that Darian Durant is going to be a regular guest on the Sports Cage every Monday afternoon, talking football, talking Riders. And I love that Durant has kind of mended the relationship with the organization. Not just returning last year with the 2013 Grey Cup team, but also now doing this as a part of Harvard and with the Rough Riders. I think it's great. And the more that Durant can be, you know, back in Saskatchewan, at least this way on the radio, is such a good thing for the Riders and for us fans.
I am, like, time heals all wounds. And I am so glad that whatever the rift between the franchise and this market with Darian seems to be finally in the rear view. And we can finally get him in the plaza by himself, because I've said many times, he is on my Rushmore of Rider grades. So I'm glad that relationship is back, and just we're one step closer to getting him fully in this market full time.
If he's not on somebody's Mount Rushmore for Rider legends, I'd have a lot of questions to ask. I mean, if you want to take a look at Durant and his love of Rider Nation, my favorite memory from last season was the Legends game with the 2013 team. The entire second half, he spent walking around the sidelines signing autographs, despite security constantly trying to get him to leave because he probably had actual events to attend. The number of times I watched his handlers, or whatever you call the people that guide, you know, celebrities through things, try to pull him away, and he just kept on going. The guy bleeds Rider green. He bleeds Saskatchewan, and it's great to see him back and answering 306 calls again.
And he bleeds the Bombers of money, so that's also a good thing.
But right there, like, he should be in the plaza three times. 2013 team, his for his own accomplishments and taking money away from the Bombers.
Absolutely. So it'll be good to see and hear Darian Durant, at least on Saskatchewan radio again every single week, which is awesome. So
I hope they call that segment Durant's fault.
See, what the problem is they're doing it at 5 o'clock. It needs to be at 4 o'clock. Just
agreed.
Marketing here, guys. Come on.
They're taking baby steps. They're getting slowly better.
But it'll be a good reason to tune into the Sports Cage anyway, just for hearing Darian Durant's perspective. There's the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Let's jump to our Churchill Brewing Company odds and end zones. Just briefly mentioned that the Riders' preseason games won't be televised. Both of them. Neither of them will be televised for the first time in however long. We're not going to get the Riders' road game televised. They're putting somebody else out there. So it'll still be
streamed. TSN doesn't like money.
Yeah, it'll still be streamed on CFL Plus. They're doing all the other games that aren't on TSN. So just keep that in mind if you're looking, wondering when the Riders' preseason game is going to be on TV. It won't be. Maybe they'll put some of the cheaters on, like Hamilton and Winnipeg and BC exceeding the salary cap. Bunch of cheaters. I gotta admit,
that BC number surprised me. I could not believe that BC number. Like Hamilton, whatever. That's a rounding error on a guy's injury. That's whatever.
Yeah.
BC at 85 grand. That's two rookie salary contracts right there.
That's intentional.
Yeah.
Well, and
that's on purpose.
And this is a salary cap, right?
First of all, it's not a cap. It's a salary management system. Yeah.
It's a luxury tax.
They don't even call it a cap. It's a salary management system.
Now, the way this works too, if you're not totally familiar with it, you get fined dollar for dollar up to $99,999.99. Every general manager who has an owner who's willing to spend that extra $100,000 minus a penny should be spending that. That is your budget. So this $5.4 million salary cap, or is it 5.2? Yeah, whatever it is, add another one to it. Right? Like that, add another 100,000 to it. That's what the real cap is before you start losing draft picks. And you don't ever want to lose your draft picks. But if you're not spending that much, it's the old Eddie Guerrero thing. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Right? So I'm actually surprised that only three teams went over. Hamilton only by $2,000, like whatever. BC, just about $26,000. Again, whatever.
That's Winnipeck.
Yeah. And then BC $85,000. That was that one was a shock, but a bunch of cheaters is what they are. Especially BC.
And we should be just like them.
Yes, absolutely. Go over the cap. If you have the money and resources, but there's revenue sharing now. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
You go over by $100,000, the Bombers just posted, what, a $5 million profit? It's just coming out of their pockets. So what the hell? Why not?
I'm surprised Ottawa even has a floor. They don't even have a ceiling.
It's all rookie contracts.
That's okay. Well, they went over last, was it? It was last season they were over. And I'm like, well, they never made any return on investment on what they spent. It rotates every year. It also depends on a team's injury issues. So,
well, it's Vernon Adams Jr. gets hurt. They don't put him on the 6-game injured list, right? So you only put him on the 1-game list. You still have to replace his roster spot with a salary somewhere, even if it's a rookie contract, right? That's still part of it.
Well, and Dane, I guarantee you, Dane Evans had playing time bonuses.
Oh, probably. Yep.
So that's probably part of it right there too. So,
well, hopefully the Riders are over by $99,000 next year and comes with a Grey Cup championship. Cause that's the only way you can really justify it in my mind. But yeah, just go up to the penny before you start losing a draft pick. Otherwise, to me, it's not a big deal. Except when Winnipeg does it.
Yeah, then they're cheaters.
Yeah, exactly. The CFL had a players poll type thing go out to some of their players, and this was really cool. The NHL does this every single year. They pull their players, and there it's an anonymous thing. Who's the best player in the league? Who's the best dressed? All that kind of stuff. But we've never seen that in the CFL. And I love some of this stuff that they've done. And so they asked a few of the players these questions. The first one, you can't pick your team. Who will win the Grey Cup in 2024? A guy like Alexander Holland says maybe Saskatchewan or Hamilton. Sam Emilis was asked this. He said Edmonton, just because he has a bunch of buddies on the team. But like seeing stuff like this, and obviously you want to pick your team, right? But if you can't, then seeing stuff like this is cool to me. Eugene Lewis saying, I can't see anybody in the East right now. Just a complete shot at all of them.
I mean, he's not wrong.
No.
Well, don't get me wrong. Like the East, like that's the thing about football. One, your best one game as proven by the Argos, proven by the Alouettes. But the East is, let's face it, the regular season, they're everyone's punching bag. But
the most surprising thing of this was James Butler taking the Riders. You know, our power rankings weren't enough. Having us at first spot, now he has to have us winning the Cup too.
Well, Bagleton had us.
He try to earn that contract next year.
And I think the only
thing I wish they would do is make it anonymous so that players can be more honest rather than picking their friends or former teammates or some pick their old teams. Like it'd be a lot more fun if it was completely anonymous and you still see somebody completely trash the East and only find out later it was an East player too. That'd be great.
Yeah. I like this one. This question, you're the GM of a new CFL franchise. Who do you take first to build around? And generally speaking, you probably want a quarterback. Vernon Adams was taken here. Brady Oliveira, of course, says Zach Claros. Eugene Lewis said Willie Jefferson, which is kind of hard to argue against that. You have a defensive anchor who just wrecks the game. So who do you guys, if you were playing GM, who would you take first if you could build around a new CFL franchise?
Brady Oliveira, and I wouldn't even hesitate.
Yeah, that's where I am too, but I thought it was too obvious.
Yeah.
Passport, every down back, can catch, can block. He's a five-tool player in this league, and you can't go wrong with that.
I have a backup option because I knew you guys were going to say that. And this isn't a homer pick either, but Sam Emilis had that huge breakout. You have a Canadian receiver, was fantastic, only going to get better, super young still.
I think if he has the season he had last year, this year, like if you can put two back to back, he is definitely in that conversation. That entire thing, my favorite is I can't believe Blank is still a free agent.
They all said Lucky Whitehead or Janarian like, Grant.
Well, and then AC Leonard too. I forgot he's still a free agent too.
Well, he kind of didn't he announce that he, or maybe it wasn't announced, but hinted that he was going to retire if he didn't get the right contract.
Probably.
I think like that was out somewhere.
And Eugene Lewis, Jake Winicky. Apparently, Gino missed last season.
Yeah. Actually, to be honest, I'm actually kind of surprised Jake Winicky hasn't signed anywhere. I thought he'd be like long after free agency, but I didn't think he'd still be, you know, going into the draft.
Well, but that's the same way with Lucky and Janarian Grant. Like those guys have speed for days. Winicky is your typical possession receiver, but you can. But I guess it also depends on ask. Like,
yep.
Like what is Winicky asking for? If he's thinking he's going to get the money he got when he came into the Riders 2 seasons ago, like he needs to adjust his expectations because, as proven by him being a healthy scratch all of last season, sorry, dude, you ain't getting it. You know, although I do like Butler though, completely giving Jamal Morrow's medical.
Yes.
And they ran it.
You said the secret word, Greg, and I was going to bring this up in a couple weeks, actually. You said expectations. And I started thinking about that today. Realistically, what are your expectations for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders this year? Now, we'll get into this in a couple weeks, a little bit more in depth. But it was more so if the team struggles, because I was thinking about the roster. And there goes Steve.
Hi, Steve.
if things go off the rails early in the season, the Riders, let's say they're 0-2, 1-3 to start the season, something like that, but they're losing big in these games. Hello again, Steve. If the Riders are struggling to start the year, he's so confused right now.
He is very confused.
Oh, there he goes again. Probably a good idea. All right. So if the Riders struggle to begin the year, because I think generally speaking, and like I said, we'll get into this, expectations probably need to be tempered. I think we're all excited about the bringing in Corey Mason, a new regime and new coaches and everything, and it should build throughout the year. But there is going to be growing pains. Keeping those expectations in mind, how long should we give Corey Mace and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders before you're like, okay, guys, you got to figure this out now before we, you know, see fans start turning on the regime. Like, is it an 0-2 start? Is it 1-3, but they're getting blown out? What if those games are close? Like, what do you think?
Knowing Rider Nation, if the other opposing team in the home opener scores first, we're screwed for the rest of the season.
Yeah, probably.
Honestly, no, I know there's a lot of high expectations. I know I have high expectations for this team. And I call that the Corey Mace effect, because dude has me believing that this entire team has changed. It's a culture thing. If you look at that survey, other players are talking about how Saskatchewan, with the signing of the coaches and the coaching staff and the players they brought in, like, That team is something is going to be something. I am believing, like, I have drank the Kool-Aid. That said, I think if they start 0-4, maybe 0-3, like, you got to kind of wonder what this team actually is. And that's with everyone still healthy. Like, if there's a major injury game one, then yeah, you can kind of go, okay, but if we're fully healthy and we start 0-3, then maybe it's like, okay, guys, come on, that's what's happening here.
Yeah, I think it's the first couple games, and then you start, like everybody's been saying, Dave Thomas said it last week too, it kind of hinges on the health of Trevor Harris. If he gets hurt, who knows what is going to happen behind him, right? So
Look, just quickly looking at the schedule. Like, we start with in Edmonton, and it's in Edmonton, in Hamilton. So you start on the road twice. Edmonton's probably better this year. You hope they're better this year for Edmonton's sake. Hamilton, well, Levi Mitchell, does he have it? We don't know. And then Hamilton comes here. Then Toronto comes here. Those first four games could be a really hard start, depending on how this team reacts to new everything.
But on the flip side, and hi, I'm back. Sorry about the
sending our love down the way.
You're in the well.
All the way down.
My name is Timmy O'Toole.
Yes, it finally happened on the air.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. The IT guy is the one always having technical problems, because that makes sense. But if you look at the schedule on the flip side, you told me we're at the end of last year that we were going to start next season up against Edmonton, Hamilton, and then Toronto, potentially without Chad Kelly, if his situation doesn't improve or his mental status doesn't improve. There are
social media.
You know, that's not as difficult a schedule as one would be concerned about. I think they need to come up fresh out of the gate and absolutely light it up. They need to start hot and get the fans back into it right away. We know this team can win before Labor Day. They got to do it and then start winning post Labor Day.
See, and I think that this year is the precursor to next year. If they can build and gradually build throughout this year, I think that's good. As long as they're not getting blown out in games, if they're keeping them close and then they start winning a couple, that's trajectory, right? That's where you should go. Next year, if they start 0-2, 0-3, then it's okay, what the hell, you guys? But I know there's going to be overreactions. This is Ryderville.
Chris Jones is allowed 4 years to absolutely destroy franchises before they can actually show any improvement.
Yeah.
Corey Mace should get at least one.
Yes.
In Rider Nation, he'll get 3 weeks.
Well, that's exactly what I said. I said if the other team scores first in the opening game, we're screwed.
Anyway, well, we'll get into realistic expectations just before the season and training camp starts. We'll save that conversation for another day. Just want to throw this out there because we didn't say it last week. Banjo Bowl, our bus heading to Winnipeg. If you're looking to go out there, $325 per person based on double occupancy gets you to the game from Regina back as well too. We're not just going to drive you there and leave you there. Although some
of you might.
Yeah, maybe. Sometimes. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Gets you tickets to the game, hotel for the night, and prizes galore. And refreshments as well too. So there'll be plenty of fun if you're looking to go to the Banjo Bowl, have some fun. For the Riders, get out to a good start. Tickets to the Banjo Bowl are going to be hard to come by if you're a Rider fan looking to go out there. So take advantage of that now. If you're interested, shoot us a message, Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Email us, piffles podcast@gmail.com. All that kind of stuff. If you're interested, just let us know. We'd love to have you on the bus joining us and 53 other Rider fans as well too. So it'll be a blast. Okay, guys, mock draft time. First ever Piffles podcast mock draft. Like I mentioned, we're not guys that really know all the names of the top like 8 rounds of prospects. I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. That's a John Hodge thing. That's a JC Abbott, Three Down Nation thing. Maybe Marshall Ferguson as well too. So if you want that, go check them out. But we're going to have some fun. Drafting positions. What do the Riders need? Where do you think they go and draft in next week's draft? Based off what they have on the roster now, obviously. Bragging rights are on the line. And if that's not enough, you guys, whoever gets the most right, and it's not just, I picked 4 O-linemen and they drafted 4. No. You got to get them in the right round. So whoever has the most positions nailed in the proper round. I have this Michael Riley signed jersey card.
Does it say Mike or Michael?
It says Michael Riley.
Ooh.
It's even numbered too. What is it here? 71 out of 99. So the winner gets this as well too.
My Durant's not signed, but I got this one.
Well, you should get that signed when he comes back to Saskatchewan.
Well, now that he's back.
So if there wasn't enough incentive, I think I have a John Ryan autograph card somewhere here too. Maybe we'll throw that one in there too. But anyway, based off the Riders' needs, and just give me one line for whatever, maybe not for like round 7-8, but at least the first couple anyway. Round 1, third pick overall. Based off what you think the Riders need to address in the Canadian draft, what position are they taking? Do we want to go in a snake order? Do you guys care?
I don't care.
You rock, paper, scissors. I don't know how it works.
Pretty sure we can pick the same person, right?
Yeah, we're going to pick the same position anyway sometimes. So.
Probably, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
Okay, well, I'll start it off here. Round 1. I think based off the Riders' needs and where I think Corey Mace wants this team to get strong at, I'm going to go with defensive line. They only have three Canadian defensive linemen on the roster right now. Like they got to beef that up a little bit.
I'm going to stay on the same side of the ball. Given the loss of Micah Tights in the offseason and a clear need, I think they go linebacker.
Joffrey Reynolds, Calgary Stampeders.
Okay, Taco.
No, but seriously, actually, I'm on the same boat as Steve. I believe it's linebacker. I think it's going to be defensive side, but yes, I think linebacker. And also with the talent available, linebacker is probably more than defensive line in the first round.
Linebackers seem to make the roster and contribute right away on special teams too. So round two, again, they're number three overall pick in each round. So they're getting a decent pick in each round. Round two, I'm going to go with offensive line. This team has to get better in the trenches. Phillip Blake's 38. You just lost Logan Bandy. I know that we were just saying that's not a huge, huge loss. But some of the other guys are pretty unproven right now, like Zur, like Florin, like Fry. So I think they go O-lineman and get a guy on the roster, practice roster at least for this year.
This is where your D-line comes in. I think they're going to go D-line in the second round.
I'm torn on this one. I can't decide between receiver and defensive line. I think they go back-to-back here, and I think I'm going to go receiver in the second round.
Round three, I'm actually going receiver. I do think I like the four receiver Canadian receivers they have right now with Emelis, KSB, Linnaeus, and Picton. But if they want to start three, they need a little bit more depth. Plus, if Emelis has another huge season, KSB had NFL looks the other year. Linnaeus, I like him, but lots of injuries over the last couple of years. Need some depth there. So round three, I think they go with the receiver.
I already said, I think they go defensive line this time around and flip it around.
I'm on receiver on this round as well.
All right. Round four. They've hit some pretty good players in round four lately. KSB was a round four guy. But I think we're going to go back to the trenches here. Go O-line.
I'm going to join you on the O-line this time. I think there's definitely a need there, and I think they're looking long-term. And when you get into the fourth, fifth, sixth rounds, that's when you start looking at the guys you're going to draft for the future. And I think that's O-lineman this time.
I wanted to say O-line, but I don't want to do what you guys did. I think they're probably going to take another linebacker in this round. I'm thinking a player from U of R is going to be available at this point. So I think this is where they take him, and he's a linebacker. So.
Round five, I'm going off the board here with a position I don't think they need to address at all, but for some reason, I just have this weird feeling that they will. Defensive back.
I'm going to O-line this round.
I'm going to go another linebacker.
Sorry, Greg, what was yours?
O-line.
O-line?
I need at least one.
All right, and Steve going linebacker in round five. Round six, I'm going to go with defensive line. Get another guy in there to compete. But I think this is going to be, six, seven, and eight is where you usually take the chances on guys like that have NFL interest. I think this is going to be guys that still have another year of eligibility, go back to school, come back for 2025. So that's why I'm going D-line there.
Throw me down for another O-lineman.
Yeah, I think this is where you're going to get your Giovanni Manus, your guys with actual NFL aspirations, and you just stockpile them. So yeah, another O-line, I think, right here too.
All right, two rounds to go, round seven, for exact same reasons you guys just did, O-line.
This is my DB round.
It was also my DB round.
All right, and final one, round eight, a position they do not need any help in, and I'm surprised you guys went so high with them, especially in round one, linebacker. I think they have so many Canadian linebackers right now that they can just throw a round eight, let's see what the hell happens, type pick of one.
I took linebacker based on players available, and I think it's a heavy linebacker, especially in those upper echelons. So I'd be very shocked if they get away from a linebacker in that first round. That said, they're taking another receiver in this round.
I think they take a kicker just for fun.
You know, I was thinking about that actually before, if they were going to take a kicker, and I probably would have said they would have, but I'm blanking on his name. Who kicked in the absence last year? Campbell, I think. Was that his last name?
Campbell Fair?
Campbell Fair. Maybe, was it? Was that his name?
From a few years ago?
No, it was an Aussie.
I'm totally blanking on his name right now. Guy who kicked for the Riders last year when Lothar was hurt.
Yeah, he was an Aussie.
Yeah, they have him on speed dial. If
Ryan Mescal.
Ryan Mescal. If they didn't just sign Lothar to a 3-year deal, I'd be with you, Steve. I think they probably would take a kicker, but
I don't, and don't get me wrong, I truly believe in Canadian kickers, but we have hit the global kicker era. Like, I'm sorry, Canadian kickers. Unless, and don't get me wrong, Eric Maximowicz, go ahead and make the CFL, playing for Concordia right now. Dude's got a leg like a cannon. He's going to be kicking a lot of field goals in the CFL. But yeah, we've hit the global kicker market right now.
No global draft, mock draft for us this year. Because they're all taking punters
all
and kickers.
Punters, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's all punters and kickers, yeah.
And there's only two rounds of it, so. We're going to have a tiebreaker. Actually, I thought of, when do the Riders take a long snapper of some sort? Because Jorgen Hughes has been around for quite a while.
He signed a multi-year deal, I thought. Wasn't like 2-3 years?
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
I don't think it was three. Maybe it was three. I honestly don't remember. But yeah, he still has another year or two under contract anyway. He's under contract this year. I know that. But you got to think that time's got to be coming pretty soon.
Well, he's only 34. Like, you've been long snap forever. When did he sign?
Two years in the offseason. So he's still got 2 years left.
All right. Well, we'll, I got these all written down here. We'll see who gets the most right. Winner can have this Michael Riley autograph card to do whatever you want with. Give it away or keep it. I don't know what you guys do with CFL trading cards. I was going to say we should have a tiebreaker of some sort, but I didn't think of one. So
I don't think a tiebreaker will be necessary.
Because I nailed it.
Winning.
No, because I nailed it. I also game-theoried it. Like, tie Steve on this one, tie Alex on this one.
Yeah. But what I like this year about the draft for the Riders is that, honestly, there isn't a lot of holes where they need to fill them immediately. They can go with the best player available and figure things out from there. They're not going, you know, like 2016 Josiah St. John, they had to take an offensive lineman then. Like, they had to.
Well, no, they had to, but they just took the wrong one.
Yeah, but that's exactly what Ottawa did last year, taking Dante Bull and had him start at tackle right away. He was not ready at all. The Riders aren't in the position right now with their Canadian talent to force somebody out there in the lineup. You know, if they're not ready, like a guy that they take in the first round, they don't need to put him starting. So they're in a position right now where they can take the best player available, develop them properly, and build for the future, which I absolutely love what Jeremy O'Day has done with the Canadian talent on this team lately.
Yeah. And yeah, say what you want about Jeremy O'Day, but he has done very well, slowly building the cupboard to the point where, yeah, we're not in a situation where we need to take a guy at this position. Like, the only place that is probably lacking is defensive line. but we have so much talent elsewhere, it's not that big a deal.
It'd be nice to have a starter on the D line in the next year or two, but it's not a necessity the way that they're building their roster. So,
and with honestly, with the new fake Canadian rules, we don't need to worry about it.
Yep.
Jeremy O'Day gets a lot of crap, but if you take away the sudden retirements and the departure of Dakota Shepley down to the States, I think his drafting over the last few years has been phenomenal. We've made some hits in the later rounds. We have guys that are contributing across the board. There's no reason to question he won't do it again this year.
So draft goes next Tuesday. We'll see who gets the most right out of us. But we'll also get a look into where Corey Mace wants to go with this team, where Jeremy O'Day want to go with this team, just in terms of where they're going to build their Canadian talent. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And if you're going out to Mosaic Stadium for the draft party, come see me. I'll be there. Come say hi. Look forward to seeing people. But yeah, we'll see how that draft goes. Should be fun. There. What's that?
Why would you say that now? Nobody's showing up.
More room for me.
Good. I won't be there, so go.
Even better, even more reason for people to go.
And you know, Dairy Queen is right next door to the stadium too, and it should be pretty nice out. So go grab a blizzard after, and before. All right. Well, if you're going there, come say hi. Looking forward to seeing some of Rider Nation out there at the draft party. I'm glad that the Riders are putting that on, because stuff like that is just fun. And they're going to have, I think they're having the concession stand open there too. Drinks and some snacks will be there too. So that's pretty cool. But that'll do it for us here on the Piffles podcast this week, as we do our first mock draft. We'll see how close we get. Piffles Podcast, brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. And special thanks, of course, always go out to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty and Churchill Brewing Company for their support making this show possible. And thank you, Rider Nation, for tuning in and enjoying the show. This is Tyler Gilbert with Ghost Behind Your Mind.